I hope you have a Bible with you. If you don't, there should be one under a chair in front of you. Ask for one. Get one. I want you to have one and read and follow along while you're turning to Luke chapter 24. I want to ask you, do you ever forget something important? Somebody's honest. Like for me, to forget my key to the church and get here because I live on the complete opposite side of town. It's a pain. I know one time I can remember, we were going canoeing and we got the canoe on the car and everything packed in and we got to where we were going and guess what we forgot? The paddles. Yeah. Kind of need paddles when you canoe. Sometimes we forget important things. And sometimes I think we forget how significant the resurrection of Jesus is. And so I hope to stir your memory and your thoughts about how important this really is. And I want you to try to imagine as we begin to look at this text that you're one of Jesus' followers. And you were there Friday when he was crucified. You saw him on the cross. And now it's Sunday morning. And you had all weekend to think about what happened. What would your thoughts be? What would your feelings be? Let's take a look at the women who were there, and then we'll see a visit from some angels, and then we'll look at the apostles just briefly. The women, first of all, Luke 24, verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. Okay, these women, they went to the tomb. They would have known where the tomb was. Who were they? If you look at verse 10, we can get some of the names. But if we look back at the end of chapter 23, we see when the body of Jesus was taken there, some of them were there. So they know where they're going. They know where the tomb is. What do they expect? It says they came to the tomb bringing spices. So spices would be what they would want to wrap the body of Jesus in spices. Some of it is just to control the stench of a dying body. But more importantly, it would be a way of showing love and respect for his body. Not mummification, that's not what it would be, but it would be mostly just to show love and respect for the body of Jesus. And what did they find? They found the stone rolled away and no body of Jesus. What was their reaction? Verse 4 says they were perplexed. They're confused. Where's the body? They saw him die on the cross. They saw his body being laid in the tomb, and it's not there. And then suddenly two men in dazzling clothing, which were angels, appear. They're terrified. Verse 5, and as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He's not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again?" And they remembered his words. The angels asked him, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead?" In other words, no, he's alive. The angel said he's not here, but he has risen. Not that he didn't die, but that he rose from the dead. And the angel said, remember in verse 6 what he told you. Verse 7, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Did Jesus really tell them that that would happen? Had he told them that beforehand? Yeah, he did. He did. Luke records it twice. I think one of the other Gospels, three times that he said it. Luke 9:22, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Those are the words of Jesus. Very clear. It's exactly what happened. It's exactly what he said would happen. He says it again in chapter 18, verses 32 and 33. Angels tell them, remember. Look at the response of the apostles when they come back to the tomb. Verse 9, and they returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. Now that is amazing. The apostles, the ones that Jesus walked with, it said, they said nonsense, and what? They would not believe it to be true. We might say they were realists. But here's the point. This is what Luke shows his readers here. Jesus' followers did not expect him to be alive. Why? Because they did not remember his words. They didn't expect him to be alive because they didn't remember what he said. Do you remember everything Jesus has said? You know, sometimes I think the scriptures for us can be kind of like documents that we have to sign. You know, you have to sign an insurance document, or maybe it's a loan for a car or to buy a house or something. And there's, you know, they tell you, or you go to the doctor, or there's a release, and you're supposed to read these things and sign here and initial here. Do you remember everything that you signed and that it was in there? Not really. Sometimes I think that's the way the scriptures are to us. And I know when I'm in a difficult situation, when I'm discouraged, when I'm overwhelmed, maybe when I have to do something that's really hard, when I feel alone, fearful about the future, I don't always remember what Jesus said. He said things like these, and let me just give you a short list of a few, and I'll spare the references. They all have references. He said he'd never leave me. He said he'd be my helper. He said he'd give me strength. He said he'd be my advocate. He would be the propitiation for my sin. He would satisfy God's wrath on my sin. He said he loved me before I loved him. He said he would give me eternal life and that I'd never perish and no one could snatch me out of his hand. He said he'd give me his peace. He said he would do what I asked in his name. He said he'd come for me. He said he'd prepare a place for me. Oh, how I need to remember what Jesus said. How do we know it's true? How do we know that we can trust that things like this are really indeed true? Well, that's why the resurrection is so significant and so important. So let's take a look. We'll skip down some verses and look at the appearance that Jesus makes to these apostles who would not believe. Verse 36. Now, while they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts?" So they're gathered together and Jesus, he makes this appearance. And he gives them an assurance. Let me just put the appearance in perspective in the order. At dawn, the women visit the tomb. Peter and John will run to see the empty tomb. Jesus will appear to Mary Magdalene in Mark 16. Jesus appears to some other women, Matthew 28. In the afternoon, he appears to two disciples on Emmaus Road. We have that earlier here in this chapter. And then later that Sunday, he appears to the 10. And that's this passage here. There's four more appearances that we have in Scripture, but this is where it fits. This is still on Sunday. And it says, Jesus stood in their midst and he said, "Peace be with you." I mean, that's a greeting. That's like this, "May God's peace be upon you." It's a blessing. It's a blessing and a greeting. He comes to, and he says, they were startled and frightened and they thought they were seeing a spirit. Again, they didn't believe the report of the women, so they assume they're seeing a spirit. A spirit is not a resurrected body. Make sure we get that. It's not a resurrected body. So Jesus said, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in you?" I know why the doubts arise, and so do you. It's easy. Dead people don't arise, right? It's simple. That's why they had doubts. But Jesus asks him. So why does he ask him? Is he trying to find out? He already knows. He already knows. Of course he knows. Maybe he wants them to think about why they're doubting, especially when he said this would happen, perhaps. Well, he gives them some assurance, and you know, he doesn't just scold them. To me, I see a compassion in how he addresses their doubts. Verse 39, he says, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still could not believe it because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. So he says, "See and touch my hands and my feet." You cannot touch a spirit. You can't touch and feel a spirit. So at this invitation that Jesus gives, then in his resurrected body, that means that they can not only see but feel the scars from the nails of the cross. He invites them to touch them. In other words, it is him for real. Verse 41 says they still couldn't believe it. Because of their joy and their amazement, it's something like, I can't believe I'm really seeing this. This doesn't even seem possible. You ever have anything like that in life? Something like, I can't believe what I just saw. So they have this amazement and this joy. But obviously there must still be some doubt. Because Jesus asks them if they have anything to eat. And he took it and he ate a piece of cheese. No, wait, that would be Monroe, Wisconsin, wouldn't it? He ate a piece of fish. You know, this tells us some really interesting things about the resurrected body, doesn't it? Yeah, there's a lot of mystery to it, but it's not a spirit floating around. It's material. Corporal is the word. It's what it is. And here's the important point. Jesus confirmed his words by showing that he was alive in his resurrected body. That confirmed the words that he had told them that they were true. Now, does Jesus confirm his words as true to us today? Has he? Absolutely he has. He has by his resurrection, and we have this written record. This is why the resurrection is so significant. It's why it's so important. It says we can trust what Jesus said. Romans 4:25 It says this: He who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. In other words, because can seem a little bit confusing. A lot of translations say for instead of because. But here it lets us know that Jesus, he went to the cross to die as a sacrifice for our sin. That's why he went to the cross. Justification, it says, when he was raised to life, it was for our justification. Justification means to be declared righteous before God, to be declared righteous. So for our justification means for God to accept what Jesus did for us. The resurrection of Jesus, it showed, it proved, it sealed that God would accept what Jesus did for us. To be justified, to be declared righteous before God, is to have one's relationship with God changed. The resurrection proved that our relationship with God would go from being eternally condemned to being eternally saved. From being God's enemy to becoming a member of his kingdom. To go from being rebellious and alienated toward God to becoming his child. To go from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. You see, the resurrection of Jesus made possible a change in everything. Everything concerning our relationship with God. For example, suppose that you're in a really bad accident. Your car is just a total wreck. And you go to the body shop, and the owner's there, and he says, "I can fix it." And you look at it and go, I don't think so. He says, "Yes, I can. Trust me, I can." And you go, "Nah, I don't think so." What will he do? He might say, "Come into my office. I want to show you something. I'll show you a picture. And here's a wrecked car. And then there's another picture of a car all fixed. And here's a wrecked car. And here's a fixed car. And there's a wrecked car and a fixed car." And says, "See, I can fix wrecked cars. Here's proof." Would that not help you? And see, so it's the resurrection of Jesus that shows, yes, God can resurrect a person who's died. The things that Jesus said, that being the most significant, really are true. Let's go back to our text. It's a little bit more. So they get this amazing proof that Jesus is resurrected. Now they get a little bit of instruction what to do with it. Jesus makes a connection for them, and then he gives them a charge, and then there's like a conclusion here as it finishes out the chapter. This connection, first of all, verse 44. "Now he said to them, 'These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem.'" So he makes this connection. He goes back, he goes to the present, and he goes to the future. He goes back, and he connects what the scripture says, the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. That's their Bible of that day. He connects that to what he told them, to what happened. And then he goes to the present. In verse 45, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He helped them. See, he helped them understand the things that were written, the things that I told you. See, this is what it means. It's interesting. He did the same thing, if we look a little bit earlier in the chapter, with those disciples on the road to Emmaus. He opened their minds to understand the things that were written by Moses. So He moves him to the present, and then he looks to the future in verses 46 and 47. He reminds him the scripture said that Christ would suffer and he'd rise again on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name. Repentance is a change of thinking that results in a change of action. Change of thinking. Thoughts about something change to the point where there's a change of action. In his name simply means consistent with his life and his words. So the message to proclaim, there needs to be a change of, this is the message, proclaim, that you can have a change in your thinking about who Jesus is, what he did, what it means, such that you put your faith in what he did on your behalf. This is the message that they were to take, that people should believe and trust as true, each one for himself, this message about Jesus. So he gives them a charge, verse 48, and he says, "You're witness of these things. And behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you're to stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high." So he gives them this charge, "You're witnesses of these things." In other words, what does a witness do? A witness simply tells others what they saw and heard. You're witnesses. You have seen me in my resurrected body. You saw me in my life. You are witnesses. Go witness. Go tell people. And he also tells them that you'll be empowered for the task, the promise of the Father. That's the Holy Spirit. You're going to have the power of the Holy Spirit to work in you as you do this. And then Luke kind of gives it a conclusion. The rest of the chapter would be about 40 days later, and these other appearances of Jesus. Verse 50, it says, "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God." It's almost as if Luke wants to just punctuate what's happened. And so he records Jesus' departure for heaven right before their eyes. Can imagine what kind of sight that would be. That's called his ascension. And then he records the effect that it had on the disciples. They had great joy. Great joy. They're super pumped up, super excited about what has happened. And they begin to worship Jesus. They worship him right there. And they're going into the temple. They're going to the area where Jesus was arrested, and they're going there to worship him. Here's the point. Jesus connected his death and resurrection to forgiveness of sin, the forgiveness of sin in God's word, and he charged his followers to tell everyone. He charged them to tell everyone. This is an account. This is an account of real people, of real events, what happened. But it's more than a historical record. It's a call from God for a response. And all humanity falls into one of two categories in relation to the death and resurrection of Christ. There are those who have yet to hear, and there are those who have heard. Of those who have heard, there's two groups. Those who have yet to respond in faith. Some will reject this record as being true. Some might say, "It sounds pretty good, but there hasn't really been that change of thinking that results in a change of action." You know, it's kind of like, you know, "I should go to the doctor because something's not right." You know somebody that, we all probably know someone who waited too long to go to the doctor. And by the time they did, the doctor said, "There really isn't anything I can do anymore." We don't want to wait. We don't want to wait with what we hear, what we know about Jesus, because there comes a day when it's too late. If this is you, today would be a great day for that turn, that change of thinking. It would be a great day to say, you know, it's long enough that I have said, well, that's a good idea. I kind of like it, you know, that's fine. But I'm going to live the way I want to, do what I want to do. Maybe it's time to have a turn. Be a great day, Easter Sunday, to turn to Christ and tell him, I'm putting my faith, Jesus, in what you did for me. I'm going to believe, I'm going to trust that God will accept it on my behalf. And grant me forgiveness and grant me a place in your kingdom. Simple prayer. Only you know if you've made it. So there's some, again, who have yet to respond, perhaps rejected or perhaps have waited. But there's another group who have heard. There are those who have turned and put their faith in Christ. And I know that's a number of you. And for us, the words of Jesus should ring loud. You are witnesses of these things. Because there's a lot of people in the yet to hear and yet to believe group. You know, there's a, and let me just close with this, in an older book called Significa, where some authors gathered true facts, interesting facts, gathered a lot of them and compiled them in this book. And one of the things that they wrote was this: the Philippine law required that the name of General Douglas MacArthur be forever shouted out at parade roll calls of the Philippine Army, and that there always be an answer. When the Japanese forced MacArthur off the islands in 1942, he made this famous vow, "I shall return." And it took him 2 years of fierce fighting before he did finally make good on his promise and returned in October of 1944. And 9 months later, a grateful Philippine Congress resolved, quote, "Then in reverent appreciation of General Douglas MacArthur, his name be carried in perpetuity on the company rolls of the units of the Philippine Army, and at parade roll calls, when his name is called, the senior non-commissioned officer shall answer, present in spirit." MacArthur was the beloved savior of the Philippine people. We've got a beloved Savior who's taken leave of us, hasn't he? He's coming again. He promised he would. We know because he was resurrected. And we may not say present in spirit. We may know it. But we say he's risen. He's risen indeed. Lord, thank you for some time together to look at your word. An amazing event. Supernatural. That happened one day on earth, a specific time and place, a record that we might know and believe. Help us to go forth here encouraged and go forth as those who remember that Jesus is risen and know what difference it makes. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.